If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, part 2. There's a lot of questions this morning concerning what's going to happen with the world and also with the financial world and the economies of the world. And one of the things that Daniel does is Daniel not only brings us up to date on what's happening and what's going to happen, but God had been speaking to his own heart as he had been praying and reading the scriptures. And as God began to speak to him about the 70th week of Daniel, he speaks to him about the 69 weeks that would be fulfilled even after his own time by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in God's calendar, you figure out that here we are in the 21st century, but at the same time, China building its power, and we see a lot of the countries in Europe very concerned about a nuclear holocaust. And yet we know that we as a church, or believers in Christ Jesus, we know the destiny of the future already, according to the Word of God. Especially if you've been reading the scriptures and studying prophecy for a long time, we know exactly what is going to take place. And perfect love casts out all fear. We're not fearful. We know that God has a plan for each one of our lives. And we also understand that God has a plan for his church. That is us together. Joined together in the same effort to know him. But here we have Daniel in chapter 9, beginning with verse 27, speaking about a future ruler that will rule the world. He says, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate even until the consummation which is determined. It is poured out on the desolate." Now, a lot of people say, well, what's going to happen to the nation of Israel? What's going to happen between the PLO and Israel? Now, we know that Arafat lies tremendously. And continually he keeps saying that Palestine belongs to them. But yet, biblically, not what the United Nations say or what Washington says, but what does the Bible say about the Arabs and Israel? Well, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that the land was given to Israel, not to the Palestinians. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's why there's a conflict, Ishmael against Isaac. And the Bible says that will be a conflict for a long time. Now we know that the issue between the PLO, Arafat, and Sharon will not be settled by any person but one person, the Antichrist. That's what the Bible teaches. When the Antichrist brings the whole world together, 10 confederate nations together with one leader leading the whole world and bringing it into a one world government, one world economics, one world trading, one world monetary system. This is what the Bible teaches. So I'm not interested in theory, I'm interested in truth. What is going to happen? Well, the best is yet to come. And one of the things and one of the dilemmas that we have today is that the church of Jesus Christ is keeping the Antichrist from making his appearance. That is the force of the Holy Spirit within the church of Jesus Christ. That's what's keeping it back. Once the Holy Spirit and the church of Jesus Christ is taken out of the way, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Then the Antichrist will make his appearance, and he will become the world leader. And he will sign a covenant with Israel and make peace with them for the first 3.5 years of the last 7 years of world history. Revelation chapter 13 talks about that too. Now what's interesting is that there's a lot of frustration today. And the reason that we are at war against the Muslim nations, especially those that are terrorists, is because God already predicted this whole thing that will bring us eventually into Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39, World War III. Where in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Soviet Union, which most of all those nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39 are all Muslim nations today. They will invade the Middle East and they will go against Israel, the Bible says. And the Bible says that God will wipe out 5/6 of the armies that come against Israel. Saudi Arabia will not be with them. Saudi Arabia will be by the side watching this whole thing. And what's amazing is that God will wipe out 5/6 of the army and they will have to get professional burials for 7 months to bury their dead because of the contamination of the weapons used in that war. And the Israelis will use the weapons in that field for 7 years for fuel. The Bible says that. So there is a major war coming, the Bible says. Another world war. World War III. And we're preparing for it. Eventually it will come. Now, we as a church do not have to be worrying about that. What we need to do is we need to have an urgency for our loved ones and friends that do not know Christ. That's my concern. Why do I say that? Well, because there are people that you and I know, not only friends, but loved ones, that if they would die today, they would go to hell. I have uncles and aunts already in hell, and cousins. They rejected Jesus Christ. They rather worship religion than to have a relationship with Christ. When I first came to Jesus Christ, I went down and I ministered to them and I shared with them and they rejected the knowledge of the truth. And now, you know, 20 some years later, they're dead. They're gone. But it was cool because the Lord allowed me to take my grandfather and my grandmother and my other grandmother and my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters to come to the Lord. And there has to be that urgency in your hearts. We cannot be that cold that we really would like to see our loved ones in hell. That's why we're here this morning. We're not just here sitting to hear the Word of God, but to take the Word of God in our hearts and to take the Word of God to others that do not know Christ as we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. When Daniel writes this 9th chapter of Daniel, he writes with passion. And I think that's one of the areas that the church today is lacking in, and that is passion for souls. Passion for souls. It has to be part of your life. And when Daniel was writing about the Antichrist, he was writing concerning this man of sin that would come and that he would rule the world. And you see, when you look prophetically at prophecy, when you study, you know, they use it in seminaries, the word eschatology. It means the last things, the study of the last things. Numenology, the study of the Holy Spirit. Christology, the study of Christ. They just use big letters, but it's just real simple. But it's so incredible because when you study theology and you come to the study of the last things, you know that when you read the Bible chronologically is not outdated, but it's dated even for today. And when you study book by book, if I start in Genesis and I read Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers and go to Deuteronomy and then Joshua and then you go to Ruth and Judges and 1st and 2nd Samuel and then Kings and Chronicles and Ezra, Nehemiah and all the way through Malachi, the last book of the Bible. Right before I get to Matthew, there's 400 years of silence, historically speaking. When Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire ruled right before Christ's birth. And it's so incredible because when you look at history and you look at prophecy, you begin to see how everything is put together. And we know more today than we knew 30 years ago in eschatology. Why? In prophecy, because things have been fulfilled. There were things in the book of Daniel 20 years ago we didn't understand. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, we did not understand that these major nations that Ezekiel talked about were going to be in the last day these Muslim nations that are ruling today in the world. We thought it was going to be Russia, but Russia got divided. We never knew that, but now we know. As we study the Word of God. That's why the Bible's contemporary with any newspaper, any broadcaster of news. And so we need to understand if we are living in the last days and we are the last generation, nothing is new under the sun, then what should I be doing to reach my loved ones and friends for Christ? That's an important question. And I believe that we have a responsibility to share with people, especially those that want answers. And the only way that we can become effective in sharing our faith with other people is to study yourself, approve unto God, a workman that doesn't need to what? To be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Get to know the word of God. You got to study. You got to know God's word. The Bible says that when somebody's asking for a question, you need to study to show yourself approved so that you know what you're talking about. And so it's important that when we study the Antichrist, we know that he is against Christ. But you know what's incredible about the Antichrist? There's a false triunity. You have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And on the other side, you have Satan, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. He's always imitating, he's always copying, always deceiving. And we know that this Antichrist will be a man. They will rise up somewhere out of Europe. And he will not only have a promoter, which we call the false prophet in Revelation chapter 13. And this promoter is going to promote religion, and he is going to be the one that will gather all of the religions of the world and bring it into one worship all together. That's what the Bible teaches. All religions will be one. The church will no longer be here. If all these things are true, which they are true, then what kind and what manner of people we ought to be today, knowing that at any moment this could happen? It's just a few, you know, steps away from eternity. Every one of our lives. Daniel knew. And Daniel wasn't in the 21st century. You see, when we talk about prophecy, there are 7,000 years that have to be fulfilled chronologically. And when you study the Bible chronologically, you know historically when the dates are given, that if you were studying Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11, historically, you have already fulfilled, just in 11 chapters, 2,000 years of human history. 2,000 years. And from chapter 12 of Genesis through chapter 50,
350 years in the rest of that book. But let's take it from Genesis chapter 12 and move through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then to Joshua, Ruth, and then you come to the book of Judges, and then we go all the way through the book of Malachi and the 400 years of silence between Matthew and Malachi. And we come to the first chapter of Matthew at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we'll call this the first coming of Jesus Christ. You have now, through that whole Bible, 2,000 more years. 2 and 2 is 4,000 years. And from the first coming of Jesus Christ to the second coming of Jesus Christ, 1,900 more years, no, 2,000 more years have to be fulfilled. So you take 3 times 2 is 6,000, and then the Bible talks about the second coming of Christ, and after the second coming of Christ, what comes? The millennium kingdom, where Christ comes to the earth and rules for 1,000 years. 2 and 2 and 2 is 6 and 1 is 7. 7,000 years. And then what happens after the 7,000-year reign? Number 8, the number of new beginnings. 1 is unity, 2 is oneness. 3, triunity of God. 4 is the 4 corners of the earth, north, south, east, west. 5 is grace, 6 in number, of imperfection, men. 7, perfection, completeness. 8, new beginnings. Number 12 is governments. 13, Satan. 39, mercy. 40 is judgment in numerology in the Bible. And what's incredible is that we're just about to fulfill the 6,000 year of man in perfection and the beginning of the kingdom age. But there is only one problem. There is, out of 70 years, or 490, out of 70 weeks, 490 years that Daniel talked about, 490 already, 483 years already have been fulfilled. And they began to be fulfilled, I told you last week, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, when Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, gave permission to Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the walls in Jerusalem and gave him 12 years to do that. That happened on March 14, 445 BC, historically. And then by the first coming of Jesus Christ, when Christ went into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they were saying, Hosanna, save now, save now. That was on April the 6th, 32 AD, which fulfilled 483 years to the T. Exactly like the Bible says. So if 483 years are fulfilled, and you add 7 to that, is 490. But 7 years have been pending for 1900 years now. The last 7 years of world history, which to me is incredible that it hasn't happened yet. And for the last 1900 years, because on March 14, 1948, what happened? On May 14, 1948, Israel declared their independence. And then on June 10, 1967, Israel, for the first time in 2,000 years, came back and took Jerusalem as their capital city. Just like the Bible says. And you know what's amazing? Is that everything that Israel has gone through, it's all prophetical in the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 36, it talks about their regathering and coming back to the land. And their independence. After 2,000 years being scattered all over the world. You can find even African Jews in Jerusalem today. Russian Jews. Argentinian Jews. From all over the world. And yet the greatest sign of all is not the Antichrist. The greatest sign in the last days is who? Israel. The nation of Israel. They are the last sign for the last times. The only thing that has been keeping back the Antichrist from making its appearance, it's you. and it's me. The church of Jesus Christ on the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. But there is a time, there is a place very soon where the church is going to be removed. And once that happens, the clock will begin to wind down again for the last 7 years of world history. That's what the Bible teaches. So, what can I do? Live for Christ. Get ready. Hey, there are no guarantees in this world today. We only live, if you're going to live till old age, let me say that the psalmist says that the oldest you probably live is 70 years old. That's the only guarantee you have. If you go past 70, it's God's grace. God's grace. You have to face life the way it is. When you're young, you know, when you're a teenager, I can remember when I was a kid, Christmas was forever. But as you get a little bit older, you go, wow, Thanksgiving already? Christmas is coming next. And that's the way life is. The older you get, it seems the clock doesn't stop for you. It moves quickly. And if we know that we're going to be spending all eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven, then what manner of people we ought to be? And think about this. Because the Bible talks about the Antichrist as a man of sin, as a son of perdition, as the wicked one, as the Antichrist, as the beast that will come, as the lawless one, as the one that opposes Christ, as the one that is working miracles and wonders, as the one that will deceive the world, as the one that will persecute the Jews, as the one that is Satan inspired, as the one that denies Christ's incarnation, as the one that is seeking self-man worship. Imagine that. All these things the Antichrist will seek in his own life. And then the Bible says that he will deceive the world. Imagine how it will be when the church is taken out of the way. Nobody will be able to eat or to work or to go anywhere unless you have the mark of the beast. Where? The Bible says in the back of your right hand or in your forehead, 666. To me, it's amazing because we're living in I mean, a lot of people don't like tattooing. Surely I wouldn't want 666 on my forehead. So the Japanese are smart. So what do? They develop a little microchip already that can be inserted in the back of your head or actually in your forehead with a major operation. And they can put every one of your credit cards, every one of your bank accounts, everything in that little microchip. And all they have to do is scan it. You don't even need any more money. We already have that power. Cashless society. That will stop drugs. That will stop bank robberies. Crime. And we're heading towards that world, one world government. And yet, at the same time, the Bible says, because a lot of people get confused. A lot of people get confused when we talk about the lake of fire and we talk about hell. These are different places. Before Christ died on the cross and he was walking on this earth, everyone that ever died in the Old Testament, whether believer or not believer, they all went to hell. And in hell, the Bible tells us that in hell, according to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 19, there were two compartments. One was called Abraham's bosom on this side for those that believe in God. And on the other side, those that did not believe in God but died of unbelief and went to hell. And there was a gulf separating the righteous from the unrighteous. But when Christ died on the cross and he descended to hell, he went down, according to Peter, to hell, to the side of Abraham's bosom, to preach to the captives there and let the captivity free. And he took the thief on the cross, and every person in the Old Testament had died, and he cleaned out hell and took them to paradise or heaven. And then what happened to hell? hell became one big place. Hell is one big place today in the center of the earth. And people that die without Christ and have that antichrist spirit in them, they will be in hell not forever, only for a season. And in hell, they have all five senses that follow them. They can smell, they can taste, they can think, they can touch. All things are there in hell. And the Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes at the second coming, he's going to judge who's going to go into the kingdom age. Every person when Christ comes back that has the mark of the beast in their right hand or their forehead, the moment you get that chip or number in your hand or your forehead, you have signed a covenant with Satan and the Antichrist, and you have signed your death warrant to go to the lake of fire. You cannot ever be saved. It's over for you. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, that at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, once these people are thrown into the lake of fire, the Bible says that hell will be what? Will be let out. Every person that has ever gone to hell is going to have to line up at the white throne judgment. And the Bible says that hell and death and the Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan himself will be thrown into the lake of fire alive, and they will be there forever and ever and ever. And then the Bible says that a roll call is called, whoever's name was not found written in the book of life. Now, who writes the name in the book of life? Who gets their name in there? How do you get your name in the book of life? By accepting Christ. Whoever did not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and whoever's name was not found in the book of life, immediately will be cast into the lake of fire, and they will be with the Antichrist, a false prophet, Satan himself, death and hell, and every wicked leader and person that has ever lived in the history of the earth. They will be there forever and ever and ever. Where is the lake of fire? I don't know. Somewhere out there, God's prepared it. And you know what's amazing to me? That all these things not only are given to us in the scriptures, but heaven is such a different place for those that believe in Christ. Why? Because heaven is a place where there's no more crying, no more sinning, no more pain, no more death. They were there forever and ever in the presence of God. And by the way, right now, as long as we are here, we can remember our aunts and our uncles and grandparents, brothers and sisters and parents, and we can cry for them, and we can really reach them. But once they die, it's over. And listen, while you're here, and you know that you have family in hell, when you get to heaven, you won't remember. It's over. Otherwise, heaven would not be heaven. They'll be lost forever. But while we are here, because we are in the flesh, we can cry, we can feel sorry, we can get bummed out about it. But in heaven, you don't get bummed out. In heaven, you don't think about those being tormented. God will erase your mind. Why? He'll give you a new body. And we will be like Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with him. That's my point, people. Where's the urgency for our loved ones? Our friends? Our children? Surely I don't want any of my sons to go to hell. Or any one of my granddaughters to go to hell. Surely the rest of my cousins and uncles and aunts and people that I know, surely I want to see them in heaven. Because heaven is a wonderful place. Prepare for us. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the Gospel of John chapter 14, they asked the question, and Peter was asking the question, and the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you also will be with me." What a great comfort Jesus gave us. This is not our home. Heaven is our permanent home. We are pilgrims and strangers. We're just kind of cruising by this earth for a little while. And yet people seem to anchor themselves down to this earth when we're dealing with eternity. That even though the Antichrist is going to come, it doesn't bother me because I'm not going to be here. But it does bother me in a way, because people that I know and people that I love will be here. And they have heard the truth of God. And what have they done? They have rejected it. Rejected it. And God said what? "Because you've rejected the knowledge of the truth, I will send them a lie and they will be deceived." That's what happens to people that deny the truth. God sends them a delusion to believe the lie rather than the truth. May God give us a heart. May God give us an urgency for those that we work with, those that we go to school with, those that we shop with, those that are surrounding our communities and our homes, to be a light and to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be able to lead them to the Lord before it's too late. Before it's too late. The clock is running down, and it's running down very quickly. Very quickly. And I would pray this morning that if you're just kind of nominal Christian, not really committed, not really walking with God, have your own agenda, have your own life, you better wake up, because Jesus is coming. The Bible says to look up, for our redemption draw at night. And let me tell you, I get excited every night when I get on the internet and read the news there, or I read the LA Times or Newsweek. And I begin to see not only what's happening with Iraq, but what's happening with Israel. And I get excited because I know that everything that Paul and Daniel and Jesus talked about, it's all together today. The whole master plan of God, it's already put together. It's just a matter of time to be fulfilled. So I would pray this morning for each one of you, if you don't know Him, that you come to know Him. If you have backslidden and moved away from Him, you need to return. And if you already are a Christian and you're walking with God, good for you. Keep it up. Keep seeking Him. Keep knowing Him. And keep telling people about Jesus. Tell them that the world ruler is on its way. I believe He's already alive somewhere in Europe. But all we're waiting for is for the rapture of the church, for the church to be taken out of the way, and then He will make His appearance. And then is the last 7 years of world history, which the world has never seen before. Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, nobody will be able to live. From 24-hour days, shortened down to 8 hours, 12 hours, I don't know. He's going to have to cut them short. Human beings will not be able to understand and to see the pain and the turmoil and the judgment that God will send for the last 7 years of world history. We don't have to be here, but they will have to be here. Father, I come before You this morning to ask You for Your people, which are called by Your name.
And Father, for those that are here this morning that do not know you, I pray, Lord, that we're not talking about religion or any denomination, but we're talking about a personal relationship that can only come through Jesus Christ. For Lord, you are the bridge builder between God and man. And Lord, we pray this morning that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would pierce people's hearts and that you would draw them by your love. And if there's anyone here in the sanctuary or over there at the coffee house that doesn't know Jesus Christ and you would like to receive him this morning as your personal Lord and Savior, to have every one of your sins forgiven at the cross of Jesus Christ through his blood, and to become a new person by faith, and to have your name written in the book of life, and to know that if you were to die today or tomorrow or the next day, you would go to heaven. That's the assurance God will give to you this morning through the Holy Spirit's work. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Walk out onto the aisle. Walk down the aisle and come down here in front of the staircase. Stand right here and I'm going to pray for you as you come to receive Christ. We're going to worship. As we worship, you get up and you come, and then we're going to pray.